So my name is Dan Walls. I work at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute with Professor Abby Kinchy, and I work there as a researcher with her. And I guess my role in the R Soil project is, guess, three or four things, I would say. So this project is kind of like a large interdisciplinary project with like a number of collaborators. And so one of the things that we've been doing is looking into what other projects are out there to test soil and looking for lead and to prevent exposures. So one component of the project has been, looking at articles that have been published, interviewing scientists that have done this work, interviewing community organizers, other environmental advocates that are interested in lead in soil. So we've done that, and that's kind of given us a basis of, what to kind of expect with the other aspects of the project. And kind of we're interested in, seeing this as like a policy issue that needs to be addressed beyond just the other components of the project, which, I'm alluding to this, that the other parts of the project that we're planning to do is a series of workshops to test soil. And we're going to be doing those workshops in Troy with residents that live near the sanctuary. And we're also collaborating with a colleague of ours in Santiago, Chile. His name is Sebastian Ureta, and we're going to be doing a set of workshops down in Chile as well in the city of Arica. So as a team, we've been working to develop the concept for these workshops where we can test soil and think about soil as an issue that's not just like an individual responsibility, but kind of looks at it as an issue and its political dimensions in terms of why is it there, how did it get there, why is it still there, basically, if it's known to be toxic. And we've been developing a handbook that we're going to put out that's going to kind of be a guide for others to be able to organize these similar kinds of workshops. And then the last thing I would say is that in these workshops, the soil testing that we do is going to be using some color-based tests that we can do in a group without like a laboratory support. And so some of the things that I've been doing in this project is actually working with those tests, comparing them to laboratory methods, and just, kind of seeing how they work, getting a feel for them to be able to use them in the workshops. So that's what I would say my role has been so far on the R Soil project.
Awesome. So, what sort of methods are you using in the testing?
So yeah, I mentioned that they're color-based tests, or you can consider them like a field method, so that you can do these, in your backyard where you take the soil, or in your garden potentially. Typically, and they're based on like laboratory methods. So, typically, you may take a soil sample, pack it in a bag, send it to a lab to be tested, and they'll send you back, a information sheet telling you like what is ex exactly in your soil, like how much lead is there, and what they, the instruments that they use in making those measurements. One of them is called a mass spectrometer, and basically they take your soil sample, they put it into an acid, they heat the solution up to dissolve what's in the soil, and then they take the liquid and they put it in this mass spectrometer. And basically what it does is it counts all of the molecules in that solution, and it sorts them by their mass. So it's able to determine like how many molecules of, or how many atoms of lead are there, you know, how many of like all other things are. And then you can calculate back to see like, what is the concentration of lead? So these field methods that we're using, it replaces this mass spectrometer that's counting lead very precisely, or, you know, and other components in the soil very precisely, with a color reaction. So people may have seen that you can go to a hardware store and 3M sells a lead check. It's for checking for lead-based paint in your house. It's a cardboard tube. You basically pinch the tube to break a liquid that's in there and a solid. They mix together and you rub it on the paint to see if it'll, and if lead is present, it'll turn purple. So the test that we're going to be using for lead, for example, is based on this concept. We're going to be adding, instead of using mass spectrometer to tell us how much lead is in there, we're going to be adding some of this color indicator that turns purple in the presence of lead. And the intensity of that purplish color is going to indicate to us to what extent lead is there. If it's like, does not turn purple at all, then we're going to have a low amount of lead. If it's like a medium shade of purple, there's going to be, you know, a certain amount in there. And then like the deeper shades of purple is increasing amounts of lead that might be in the soil. And so we're going to be using those tests and two other tests, one for arsenic and one for copper. And those will be the three tests for metals that we'll use in the soil. We'll also be doing some other tests to look at like the properties of soil to measure their pH and look at their texture. And I haven't been working as closely with those tests, but they're the texture method is a little bit hands-on. You essentially take soil between your fingers and you can go through kind of like a flow chart and you, you know, massage the material. If it feels like gritty, you go down one path. If it's like more smooth, you go down another, and you kind of go through this series of processes to determine, you know, what is kind of the texture of your soil, which basically means like how much sand, how much silt, and how much clay are in it. Yeah, so those are the main scientific tests that we'll be using in the workshops and that I've been looking at through this project.
Awesome. In what ways does soil quality affect communities?
Yeah, so soil quality can have a big effect on communities, particularly on children. So a lot of research was done in the 80s actually showing that contaminants that are in soil people can be exposed to them through inhalation, breathing it in, and ingestion, eating it basically. And you might not think that, you know, as adults you would do this, but you know, if you're eating potentially vegetables with soil that's adhered to it, or if it's dusty out and you kind of get a gritty feeling in your mouth, you can be, you know, inhaling and ingesting soil. But the biggest issue is actually for children, based on, you know, their growing bodies, their smaller bodies to begin with as well. The amount of lead that might not be as big of an issue to an adult is going to, you know, represent like a larger concentration in the blood of a child. And, you know, children, they're lower to the ground. If they're playing outside, they're going to be getting soil to stick to their hands. They might be putting their hands in their mouths. They might be playing with their toys in the yard. They might be putting their toys in their mouth. They might even be eating soil. It's called pico when you eat non-food objects as a child that you usually grow out of. So if there are contaminants in soil, you know, there are ways that you get exposed to it if you're engaging with that soil. Another issue with, you know, soil quality, particularly in cities, you know, comes with, you know, looking at just access to green spaces, places that you can socialize and interact. And also another is, you know, gardening and growing food. There are practices that you can follow and, you know, precautions that you can take to be able to garden safely. But again, you know, those are things and knowledge to know that people may be intimidated, you know, if they are, don't know, or, you know, find something in their backyard, they might want to shy away from gardening, but there's actually, you know, things you can do to garden safely and precautions to take, which we can talk about